Today's shir is a Masech Techulin on Daf Nun Ches. We will begin on the last line on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, five words before the end of the line, with the words Amar Amemer. Begins the Gemara. Amar Amemer, Hani Beid Trefa. These eggs of a hen, which had become Trefa. In other words, this is a case of Nisabra Venitrefa. The hen had eggs forming within it, and then it became a Trefa. As we turn to Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, so the halacha is, says Amemar, that shichla kama asira, that the first batch of eggs in the hen's stomach, when she became a trefa, are asir, because, as Rashi tells us, of the rule uber yerech imoy. This means that a fetus in an animal or a forming egg, such as in our case here by the hen, is like the thigh of the mother. Just like the mother is trefa, so the egg is a part of the mother, and it becomes treif as well. And in this case, there is only one cause of the egg becoming treif, and that is the treifa status of the mother. And therefore, everyone agrees that it is usser. However, continues Amemer, mikan ve'elach, the next batches of eggs that the hen will sit on and produce eggs, and if they're fertilized eggs, the hen will produce chicks. If they're not fertilized eggs, then there will not be any chicks. So the halacha is mikan ve'elach, and we're going like the end of the sugya on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, where of Acha Bar Yaakov on the last line of that amud said halacha treifa your lettuce, that a treifa could give birth or could give eggs in the case here by the hen. So mikan ve'elach, which means now we're speaking where it's trefa venis abra, not like the first case. The first case was that it previously was forming eggs within it, and then it became a trefa. Here, it's already a trefa, and then the eggs are being formed. Now, here, we don't have one cause of ister, we have two causes. That is the rooster. The rooster who's fertilizing the egg, he is kosher. The mother, the hen, is the treif one. This is a classic case of zevzeg geirim, mikan ve'elech, from the batches that will be produced by the egg, by the hen, this treifa, who is going to have eggs in the future. Havalei zevzeg geirim, now there are two causes for the egg, a heter cause, the rooster, and an iser cause, the hen. And a maimer goes according to the Mandi Omer in this Machlokas, which we find throughout Shas, that holds that Zevzeg Goyim is Mutter. There is a Mandi Omer who holds that Zevzeg Goyim is Usher. What is the basic swore of the Machlokas? We can say the question is, why do we say Zevzeg Goyim is Mutter? Why do we say Zevzeg Goyim is Usher? We have to look at when there's only one Goyim. When there's only one Goyim of Isser, we say that the eggs in our case would be usser. For example, in the case of shichla kama, the first batch, where it is the hen itself only that is causing the tarfus of the eggs. So the eggs become a cheftza de isura, they become an essence of isser, just like the mother is prohibited, so too those eggs become an essence of isser, a cheftza of isser. However, once there is heter involved as well, like in the case of the rooster, so then it's not Isser 100% that is causing Isser. There's heter already causing it, and therefore we will not be able to say that the subsequent eggs after it becomes a trefa is a cheftza de isura. That's the swar of the Mandi Omer who says Zevzeg Goyim is mutter. The other Mandi Omer says that we look at it just the other way, that if something is mutter, then it produces heter. However, in our case, where without the iser, without the hen, the egg would not have been produced, so then we cannot say that heter alone is creating this egg. We have to say that there is some iser involved as well. If there's some iser involved as well, that's enough to make it into iser. That's the svar of the Mandi Omer who says zevzeg goyim is usser. It's only mutter if it's 100% heter. Once you have some iser mixed into it, it'll be usser. So this is the machloikas throughout Shas, and a maimer is going according to the Mandi Omer who says zevzeg goyim is mutter. Esve Rav Ashi la maimer. So Rav Ashi asked the question to a maimer from a brisa. Vishavin bebeyas trefa sha'asura. And both of them agree by the egg of a trefa that it is usur. Now, what is this referring to? There's a machlokes here between Rashi and Tosfos. We will go with the approach of Rashi. Rashi says that this vishavin that both agree is referring to a machlokes that we're going to have later on the Amid between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And the machlokes concerns a vlad of a trefa, an animal that has a child, and the animal is a trefa. There's a machlokes, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. A, can this vlad be nikrav on the mizbech? Can you bring it as a sacrifice on the mizbech? And also, is it permitted for a common person, not to do with the Beis HaMikdash, someone wants to eat it, is he permitted to eat it or not? Rabbi Lezer holds it's usur to eat, it's usur to bring it on the mizbech, and Rabbi Yeshua says it's mutter to eat and it's mutter to bring it on the mizbech. But vishavin, both Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree, mibeyas trefa, that when you're dealing with, not with a vlad of an animal, but rather you're dealing with the egg of a trefa, there everybody holds that it is usur. And the Braisa gives the reason, mipnei shegadla beisur, because it was developed in isur. So before we get into the specific question and answer of the Gemara at this point, let us, for clarity in this whole sugya, give two approaches of how we can understand the machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. We could say that the machlokas Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua concerns a case of nisabra v'nitrifa, where once the egg was being formed in the hen, at that point the hen became treif. And we will say that the machlokas, and the same machlokas will be by a vlad, an embryo, a fetus in an animal, that the fetus was being formed, and then the animal became treif. So what would be the machlokas Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua in that case? The machlokas would be whether we say ubr yerech imoy or not. Whether we say that the fetus is like the thigh of the mother, that it's a part of the mother. Rabbi Lezer holds we would say it, and therefore the animal is treif, just like the vlad is treif, just like the mother. Rabbi Yeshua says we do not say ubr yerech imoy, and therefore the vlad is not treif. And now we would add vishavin bebeis treifish asura. Everybody agrees by the egg of a treifa that it is usur. Why would this be? Why is an egg different than a vlad? And as the Gemara will say later on this arm, it's six lines from the bottom, my taima gufahi, because by an egg, it is considered more of an integral part of the hen than a vlad, than a fetus is of an animal. And the reason for this is because the egg has connective tissue which attaches it to the hen's ovaries, and therefore it becomes part and parcel of the guf of the hen much more than the fetus in an animal. So even though there's a machlokes Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua whether uber yerech imoy by the vlad of an animal, but vishavim, they all agree that by the egg, in the case of a hen, that it is part of the bird, and therefore, if the mother is trefa, it is trefa. This is one way to understand the machlokes Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua. A second way is that it's not speaking about nisabra and then v'nitrefa, that it became a treif after it was carrying the fetus, after it was had the forming egg, but rather, it's speaking about the opposite, where it was trefa venis abra. First it was treif, it was established that the animal is treif, and then it had a child, going like Rabbi Achabar Yaakov, that a treifa could have a child. What would be the machloikis in that case? Then the machloikis would be whether we say zev is zegarim is mutter or usser. Once the animal is treif, that's the mother. However, the father is, the bull is kosher. So therefore it's a case of zev is zegarim. Rabbi Lezer holds Zev is Egoirim is usur. You cannot eat it, the vlad, and you can't bring it as a sacrifice on the mizbeach. Rabbi Yeshua holds that we don't say Zev is Egoirim. We say Zev is Egoirim is mutter. You could eat it, and you could bring it as a sacrifice. And now the Braisa would conclude, Vishavin, Bebeyas Trefesh Asura. But in the case of the egg, which is coming from a bird, which is already treif, and then the egg was formed in the bird, so there we don't say Zev is Egoirim is mutter. There we're going to say that Zev is Egoirim is usur, and the Gemara is going to explain in a few lines, because there we are speaking about where the bird developed the eggs by warming itself from the earth. It's not speaking about fertilized eggs from a rooster which produces chicks, but rather it warmed itself up from the earth, and as the Gemara calls it, safna me'ara, the heat came from the ground itself, and therefore it's not fertilized, and it will not be able to develop into chicks. In that case, there is no rooster. There's only the hen herself. She is treif. There's one gorem. One gorem, everyone, Rav Elazar and Rav Shaul, both Rimota, that it, the bay is treif, is asur. So these are the two ways of understanding the machlokes Rav Elazar and Rav Shaul, and the subsequent halacha, which everyone agrees that bay is treif, is asur. Now, at this point in the Gemara is asking the following question. You learned in the Brice of Ishavim, the Beis Trevish Asur, and you gave me a reason, Ibnei Shegodla Be'Isser, because the eggs were developed in Isser. So we see from this that Beim, that eggs that were developed after the bird was made into a treifa, they are prohibited because of zevezegarim. So how can you say a maimer that zevezegarim is mutter? We see from this brisa that by the eggs we say that the treifa had eggs after it became a treifa. Where does it's a case of a rooster fertilizing it, and it's zevezegarim, and we see it says that it's osser because it developed an isser. The Gemara answered, it's not speaking about a rooster. Hasam besafdo me'ara, where it got heated up from the ground. It's not a fertilized egg, and therefore there's only one gorem, and that is the hen, and therefore everyone agrees that it is usr. Ask the Gemara, v'lishanilei b'shichla kama. Why do you have to give me an answer that it's speaking about an unfertilized egg where the hen heated itself up from the ground? Give me the answer that it's shichla kama, that it's speaking about the first batch. The first batch is also only one gorem, because there's no rooster involved. When the hen became treif, the egg was already being formed in its stomach, and therefore it's considered that there's only one gorem. That gorem is the tarfus status, the treif status of the hen itself. So there's only one gorem. Why don't you give me that answer? The Gemara says, no, the lashon of the brisa doesn't fit in. Imkein gadla. What are you telling me that it developed? Developed seems to indicate that entirety, from beginning to the end, it developed in Isser. Gamra meboilei. If it started off, it wasn't a treifa. And as the egg developed further, that's the point where it became a treifa. So that you should have used the lashon gamra. It concluded in Isser, but not that the entire development was in Isser. That's why I didn't give you the teretz of Shichla Kama, the first batch. I only gave you the teretz of Safna Me'ara. Now the Gemara continues, Elohad Disnan, and the Mesar Shas says it should be Elohad Disnan, you will learn in the Braisa. V'lad Treifa, this is the machlokes we referred to before. Rav Elazar, remember, lo yikarv l'gam mizbech. You shouldn't bring it as a carbon on the mizbech. Rav Yeshua, Ymir, yikarv. You should bring it as a carbon on the mizbech. Now, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, according to a Meimer, b'maikam ifli, what could be the machlokes according to a Meimer? And as Tosfos speaks out in Divrei HaMaskil, b'maikam ifli, four lines after it gets wide on the Amid, you cannot say, according to a Maimer, that the Machlokes will be the first way we explained it before, that it's speaking about Nisabra and then Venitrafa. And then the Machlokes will be, do you say Uber Yerchimir or not? Because it'll come out that Rab Lazar holds that Uber Yerchimoy, and it's also to be brought on the Mizbeach. It'll come out that a Maimer who said at the top of this Amid, Shichla Kamasira, which means he holds that Uber Yerech Imoy, he's passing like Rav Elazar, and Tosfos brings down, we know Rav Elazar Shmutihu, he was put into Cherim, and therefore most of the times we don't passkin like Rav Elazar Shmuti, and here a Maimer will be taking a position like Rav Elazar Shmuti. So therefore we cannot say the Machloikis between Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon and Rav Yeshua is in the case of Nisabra v'nitrifa. Will have to say it's b'shenitrifa l'b'soif ibra, that first it became a treifa, and then it was nisaber. And the machlokes will be concerning the other way we learned the machlokes concerning zevezegarim, because now we have a rooster involved. Rav Elazar sofer zevezegarim usser, even though you have a rooster, but since you have the hen, when you have heter and isser, we say it remains usser. And Rav Yeshua sofer zevezegarim mutter, that zevezegarim is mutter. That's how we'll be forced to learn the machlokes concerning Uber Yerech Imoy. We could say that everyone holds Uber Yerech Imoy. So a Maimer will come out like everyone, not like Rav Elazar Shemuti. What is the Machlokes in Zevezegarim? And on that, Rav Maimer says that Zevezegarim will be Mutter, and he'll come out holding, not like Rav Elazar, he'll come out holding like Rav Yeshua. So now the Gemara says, if so, ihachi, if this is so, why did the Machlokes Rav Elazar and Rav Yehoshua have to be concerning a korban for the Beis HaMikdash? Why don't we make the Machlokes concerning whether a hedget could eat it or not? And here, Tosfos and Divrei HaMashal, Ihochi, the second last Tosfos on the Amid, asks, I don't understand. What do you mean? Now that we are forced to learn that a Meimer is learning the Machlokes Rav Elazar and Rav Yehoshua concerning Nitrifov and Isabra, Lubsaif Ibra. And the machlokes is Zev Zagarim. Now you have a question. Why do you have to go with a machlokes concerning Gavoa? You should also have a machlokes concerning a hedget, because we have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Mem test that tells us that Rabbi Lezer asks for a hedget by Zev Zagarim. And that's Gemara's question. Why do you have to make the machlokes by Gavoa? Make it by hedget. But this question would not only be a question by Zev Zagarim. It would be a question even if you learned the other way to machlokes. And in fact, the Gemara on this Amid further down asks it. Even if you learned the other way to machlokes concerning Uber Yerech Imoy, we still have the question, why make the machlokes for Blazer Rav Yehoshua by Gavoa? Why not make it by hedget? And Tosfos remains with a question. However, the Run says a very nice answer. If it would not be for the fact that a Meimer said Shichla Kam Asira, which means that Uber Yerech Imoy, and that's why the first batch is Asir, the egg like the mother, because of Uber Yerech Imoy. If not for that, we could have said that everybody holds Uber Lav Yerech Imoy. And that's why when it comes to question, can an individual eat it, when it has nothing to do with bringing it as a korban to the base of Mikdash, we would say Zev Zegarim is Mutter, and he is allowed to eat it. Excuse me, Uber is Lav Yerech Imoy. The egg is not considered like a part of the mother, and therefore you could eat the egg. The only thing is, Legavoa, we have a machlokes, because Rabbi Lezer holds that since this egg, the mother became trefa while she was carrying that egg, it's not proper legavoa, it's not a covet for Hashem to bring such an egg as a korban, to bring such a vlad as a korban. That would be not correct. That's why he holds that the vlad of an animal in such a case would be also to be brought as a korban. But it's only a halacha and korban. It's not a halacha to an individual, and an individual could eat it. So that's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara's kasha, ihachi. If you're telling me I forced you into a corner to say that the machlokes Rav Elazar and Rav Yehoshua according to our Meimer is in Zev Zagarim, and concerning Uber Yerech Imoy, everybody holds Uber is Yerech Imoy. If so, I have a question. Why go Legavoya? Make the Machlokes Lehedget. But if not for the way you're learning a Meimer, I could have said that Uber everybody holds is Lav Yerech Imoy, and an individual could eat it. There's a special halacha Rav Elazar holds that it's not covered Legavoya. I could have made the Machlokes that way, and therefore the Machlokes would only have been in Gavoa. But the way you're learning, then I have a question. Why Legavoya? Make it Lehedget. Answers the Gemara, Lord Yachar Koichad Rabbi Yeshua. I'm making it also lehejit. I'm making it legavoya to tell you the strength of Rabbi Shuda. Fil legavoya nami shorita. He permits it even not only for an individual, but even for the base of Mikdash. Ask the Gemara of lefgul lehejit. Make the machlokes by hejit. Lady achak karchad Rabbi Lezer to tell you the karchad Rabbi Lezer. That fil lehejit nami usher. That not only is it usher legavoya, it's also usher for hejit. The Gemara answers kayach that heira adivlei. If I have a choice to bring out the strength of Rabbi Shuda that it's even mutter to gavoa, or I have the option to go and show you the strength of Rabbi Lezer that it's even usher to a hedget, I'd rather go with the strength of Rabbi Yeshua, because that is stressing the power of heter, that it's mutter. And Rashi and Beis, Daf Beis and Beis tells us, why is koich tater out of light? Because if when you prohibit something, it's not a proof that you are really convinced of your philosophy, because maybe it's a suffix, and a suffix, you always have to be a suffix deraisa. If it's a shal of treif, you have to be machmer. But if I can say that, no, I'm being makel, I'm shown that that's your conviction 100%, that you are ready to rely on your halacha that it is mutter, and you have no suffix, so that I'd rather show the strength of heter than the strength of iser. And now, a Meimer, the Gemara is telling you, how would a Meimer understand the concluding phrase of that brisa? So that's the way Rashi learns here. Umoidim, they're both Moidim, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, even though they have a machlokes by a vlad of a behema, where it was nitrifov l'soifnes abra of zev zegar mutter aser, but bebeis treif in the same case, shasura. Then it's aser. Why? Because what's it speaking about where there's only one gorim? What's the one gorim? But it's safna miar, where the heat came from the ground, the chad gorim hu. It's not two gorim of zev zegarim, where there's a machlokes. It's one garment, therefore it's usher. Continues the Gemara, Rav Acha Savrullah, Karav Acha Bar Yaakov. Rav Acha held like Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and that a treif is moilid. Umasni lid amemer kadamorin, and he learned exactly what amemer said before. The difference between the Shichla Kama and the Mikan Ve'elach, the other batches, he learned like Amemer said. And you could have other batches because a treifa could be molded. By the way, you can never bring a proof from the first Shichla that a treifa is molded, because even if you hold treifa is not molded, but that Mandiomer will agree that the one that was being formed, and at that point the bird became a treifa, the treifa is able to give birth to those eggs that were being formed when it became a treifa. The question is, can it be molded after it became a treifa, where the eggs were formed entirely after it became a treifa? But the eggs that were being formed while it became a treifa, everyone agrees it could be molded. So if we hold like Rav Acha b'Yaakov, we can say exactly what Amemer said at the top of the Yomid. But Ravina loisav look at Rav Acha b'Yaakov. He didn't hold like Rav Acha b'Yaakov. He held that a treif is not molid. So therefore, he can't say what Amemer said at the top of the Yomid, because you cannot say mikan ve'elach. Once it became a treifa, what's the din with the other batches? We'll say zevzegar mutter. There are no other batches if you hold treif is not molid. So therefore, umasin lo Amemer b'hai lishna. He has to interpret and say that Amemer really said something else. Amar Amemer. Hani be the suffix treifa, not a vadi treifa. Eggs where you have a suffix, whether it's a treifa or not. So now here's what I do. Bit of shichla kama, the first batch, mashinalu. We leave them. We can't use them yet because we have a suffix treifa on the mother. So therefore the eggs are a suffix treifa. E hadra vitana sharyin. If after the first batch, this treifa bird has future batches, so then that's a proof that it's not a treifa, because a treifa we're holding now is ain't a molid. So once we say that the future batches are good, and the mother is good because she is not a treifa, as we see that she was able to produce future batches, so then the first batch, which I was holding in suffix, not to eat it, now I can eat it, because I've been proven that it's not a treifa. So yihadra v'tan asharin v'iloy asirin. But if she doesn't give birth anymore, so then we will prohibit even the first batch of eggs, because that will be a proof that it is a treifa, because a treifa is not molid. That was the statement we'll have to say now, according to Amemer. Eisei Rav Ashi l'Amemer. According to this Lashon, again, Rav Ashi has a question to Amemer. What's his question? From the end of the Braisa concerning the Mechloikis, Rav Blazer, and Rav Yeshua. Moidim, the Bay is treifa shasur, the Bay of a treifa is also, even though they have a Mechloikis by vlad treifa of an animal, but by Bay is treifa, they're both moida, that the egg is usur. Why? They should godlob iser, because it was raised in iser. And this seems to say that a treifa is able to have eggs. Here there's a treifa, and yet it's able to have eggs. That's the question. You said treifa is not moilet. Amar lei, hot somebody shichla kama. You know when it can have eggs? By the first batch, as we explained before, because even according to Mandiomer, that a treifa is not moilet, but the eggs that were being formed when it became a treifa, those eggs everybody holds it could be moilet. Ask the Gemara, you're telling me now it's shichla kama? Imken godla. How, we have the same question that the Gemara had earlier on the Yomid. How can you use a lashon godla totally developed in Isser Gomra Meboile? If we're speaking about Shichla Kama, it means part of it was formed in Heter before it became a Treifa. It was completed in Isser, but not that it was totally developed in Isser. You should have used the Lashon Gomra. Tani Gomra. So the Gemara says you're right, and in fact changed the wording of the Braisa, and it should say the word Gomra. But the Gemara is not finished. Elohad Isnan, the Messiah Shas says again, the Sanya. That which we learned in a Braisa. The Machlaiks we've had on the whole Amid here. Vlad Treifa, Vlad Zerma, Lo Yikarv, Lagav Mizrech. Don't bring it as a carbon. Rabbi Shuemer, Yikarv, bring it as a carbon. B'maikam Iflagi. What is now the Machlaikis according to this Shita in Amemer? Because he cannot say anymore the Machlaikis is in a case where it was Treifa Venis Abra, that it started to form the eggs after it became a Treifa. And the Machlaikis is by Zev Zegayrim, because you just told me that a Treifa is not Moilet. There is no Mikan Ve'elach. There is no birth after Treifa. So, but my kamifli. So, what is the machlokes of blazer Yeshua? Must be kishayibra l'besayf netrifa. Must be that it was had a vlad, that it was forming a fetus that was being formed, and then it became a treifa. And that fetus, everybody holds, even a treifa could be moiled. So, in that case, there was a machlokes. Is the fetus the vlad when it's born? Is it kashal mizbeach or not? Kishayibra l'besayf netrifa. Rab blazer sayver or b'yerchimayhu, and it is usher to eat, then it's also usher to be brought as a korban. Rabbi Yeshua Sofer uber lav yerchimai. We don't say the fetus is like a thigh of the mother. It's a separate entity, and if the mother's usher, it will not become usher. It will be mutter to eat, then it will be mutter to bring it as a korban on the mizbeach. Ihachi asked the Gemara, if so, adamifli legevoy lifli lehedjet. So again, we have to hear the Gemara again ask, why are you making the machloikis by gevoy and make it by hedjet? And the Gemara gives the same teretz. Loi deachu, karkas Rabbi Yeshua to give you, tell you the strength of Rabbi Yeshua that it is mutter even legevoya. Vilifli behedjet, tell me the machloikis that even by hedget it is usser. The answer is I'd rather tell you the strength of Rabbi Yeshua that it's mutter even legavoa than to tell you the strength of Rabbi Lazar that it's usser even lehedget, because koyach that teira is always a stronger conviction that it is correct, because I'm even able to say I'm mekel and not I'm machmer, which could be I'm only machmer because of it's a suffix. Now, how do we conclude the last part of the brisa? They're definitely motivated by a bay of a treifa. Shasura, what case is that? Why isn't there a machlagis whether uber yerchimir? I know, but speaking about the shichla kama, it's speaking about the first batch. And why, by an egg, is it worse than the vlad of a animal, where everyone will be moited at uber yerchimoy? My time a gufahi, because by the eggs, it's more of an integral part of the hen because of the connecting tissue to the hen's ovaries, and therefore everyone holds, there's no question whether uber yerchimoy, hiravada, it's usher because it's part of the actual body. Continues the Gemara, the hilchasa, what is the halacha in this whole Indian, whether a treif is moiled or not? And what constitutes a treifa? What tests do we have for it? Says the Gemara, bezacher in a male, kol shnai maser chaydish. Rashi says, if you have a suffix treifa, then if it lives for 12 months, that's a proof that it is no longer a treifa. The Rajba tells us in a tshuva that this test is only by a suffix treifa, but by an animal that we know, a pi chazal, is considered a vadai treifa, then even if the animal would then subsequently live for 12 months, that would not be a proof that it is no longer a treifa. The Rajba says, number one, because very often people will make a mistake thinking that it survived 12 months and really it had survived less than 12 months. The Chazon Ish goes a step further and tells us that even if we would be able to document clearly that this animal has lived more than 12 months, and that would seem to indicate that concerning this particular treifa, nishtana hateva, that the nature has changed and it is no longer a treifa. The Chazon Ish says a very important rule, that all of the treifas that were established in the 2,000 years of Torah, that means from the time of Kabbalah HaTorah and on, all of the 2,000 years of Torah, which actually begin in when Avraham Avinu was 52 years old, he was born in the year 1948 from Briyas HaOlam, when he was 52 years old, the 2,000 years of Torah began. They ended close to Rebbe's Petira after the Churban by Yesheni, 172 years. Those 2,000 years of Torah, whatever Chazal were koveya, al pida halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that these are the treifas, then even if we see that it seems to be nishtana teva, but that remains forever one of the treifos, and the animal would not be kosher, even if it subsequently lived for more than 12 months. Rover Shonim tell us that one is not allowed to leave over many animals where we have a suffix of their treifa to establish this test if they will live more than 12 months, because a takola can come out and an animal who's really a treifa could be consumed and the test was not even brought to actualization. So one should not do that. The only time one could l'chatchila leave over an animal to see if it will last live for 12 months is by one animal, one bird, but not by many. However, there are other Rishonim that say that even one should not be left over because of a possibility of a takala. It's only a bidyevid. If it was left over and it did survive more than 12 months, then it would not be considered a treifa. And finally, there is a great machlokas, exactly what constitutes the 12 months. There are those who hold that it's 365 days of the solar year, and others say, no, it is the lunar year, and it makes no difference whether it's a leap year, a shana muberes that has a 13th month, or not, it is always a test after 12 months. And there are those Rishonim who say that in the case of a leap year, Rishonim Uberis, in fact, the only way we can establish that this Suffolk Trefa is not a Trefa would be if from the day when the Suffolk began for another 13 months in the case of a Shonim Uberis, that the animal would survive. That would be the only way to prove it. According to these Rishonim, there's a difference between a leap year and a regular year, which would be 12 months. In the case of a leap year, it would be 13 months. Bin the Keva. And the Keva, of course, continues the Gemara, has the same test as a Zachar in terms of the 12 months. But they have an additional test. Kol Sheni Yoledes, if it cannot give birth, we paskin not like Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov. Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov said at the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis that trefa yoledes. We paskin trefa is not yoledes. So if it gives birth, it's a rye, it's not a trefa. And only if it doesn't give birth, then we would consider it misafik a trefa. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says a new klal. Kol beria, any creature, she'ein boy etzem, that doesn't have a bone, let's say like a worm, einai miskayem yud beis chayshe, cannot survive for 12 months. Amar Rav Papa, based on what Rav Huna said, said Rav Papa, Shema Minam Mid Rav Huna, we can learn from Rav Huna concerning the following halacha, Hadam or Shmuel, that which Shmuel said, Kishos cucumber, Shehisliya Beveah, that became wormy, while it was attached to the ground, Asura, they are prohibited. As Rashi explains, based on the Pasuk of Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Mem Aleph, which states, V'chol hasheretz hasheretz ala oretz, sheketz hu lo yeyochel, that there is a concept of a sheretz. Number one has to crawl, and it has to crawl ala oretz on the earth. But the chiddush of Shmuel is that while the fruit or vegetable is connected to the ground, it's considered as if the sheretz is shoretz al ha'aretz. Here we have a very basic machlokes Rishonim. Rashi holds it's only if we know that the sheretz actually was shoretz within the fruit or vegetable while it was connected to the ground. But if it was not shoretz, if it did not crawl around, it would not be usur, even though it's mechubar lekarka. But according to the Ran and the Rashba, the mere fact that this fruit or vegetable is connected to the ground, that makes the sheretz, the insect in the fruit or vegetable, considered shoretz al oretz. Now, if it's not connected to the ground, then the Rashi tells us that the sheretz has to come out of the peiri, and here again we have a machlokes in the Gemara whether it has to crawl from the peiri and go onto the ground to be considered sheretz or shoretz al oretz, or it's sufficient if it crawls on the surface of the peiri that it would be considered sheretz or shoretz al oretz. So now that we have this chiddush of Shmuel that a connected fruit or vegetable is also considered the insect within it as sheretz al oretz, as we turn to daf nun chesamid beis hani tami dekada, these dates that were in a jug, they were harvested from the ground, so now you have worms in it. And Rashi says you have a suffix whether these worms were made b'mechubur while it was connected to the ground, or whether they were only formed after it was cut from the ground. So the halacha is lebusser treisi achashata, after 12 months, if you found the worms after 12 months, and these worms don't have a bone in them, so now we have the klal or Rav Huna that any berry that has no bone is not miskayim for 12 months. Now, you found a live worm in this date, which was harvested over 12 months ago, so it couldn't have been done, it couldn't have been formed while it was mechubar to the karka, because it's been cut off from the karka more than 12 months already. So it must have been made after the dates were cut off from the ground. Then the halacha is it's only usur if it's shoretz on top of the fruit. So there your chiyuv would only be to remove the worms that are on the surface of the fruit. But you don't have to worry about any live worms inside the fruit, because those were made after it was cut off, and they don't become usur if they're still inside the fruit. The Rosh asks a very important question here, but why aren't we worried about dead shrutzim that could have been formed while the dates were connected to the ground? And a sheretz is also even after it is dead. On that he brings the teretz of the Ravid that is medayik from the Lashon of Rav Huna on Amud Aleph, four lines from the bottom. Rav Huna, kol beria, she'ein boy etzem, einay miskayim yud beis chaydish. It doesn't say it doesn't live for 12 months. So this must have been alive after it was cut off from the ground. No, it says it doesn't last, which means that even if there was a sheretz that was in this fruit while it was connected to the ground over 12 months ago, today, if I opened the fruit, that sheretz would have disappeared, would have been pulverized into ash. There would be no kiyum, there would be no sustaining power to this sheretz. It wouldn't be here anymore. Ein miskayim. And therefore, the only thing I have to worry about is anyone that went out to the surface of the fruit. That I have to be bodek and get rid of it. And as far as when achiv bedika is chal, so the Rosh tells us a klal here, it has to be a miyut hamatsui. It has to be something, of course, if it's nischazek, of course you have to check it and make sure you get rid of it. But even if it's a miyut, but it has to be a miyut hamatsui, it's very prevalent. What's considered miyut hamatsui? There's different shitas. I believe Rabbi Yashiv says 7%. The Yeshuas Yaakov goes with the amount of 10%. If 10% are found to be infested, then it's considered a miyut ha-matsu, where bedika is required. If it's less than 10%, then bedika is not required. That's considered a miyut she'enei matsu. Omar Rav said, Rav, less baka, there's no gnat bar yoima. Gnat lasts less than a day. But less didva, there's no fly bashata. A fly lasts for less than a year. Omar the Rapabla Bai said, Rapabla Bai, vo Amri Inshi, people say, a mushal, Shev Shni, 7 years, Imra Biksami baka, the female gnat separated herself from the male gnat. Why? The Amr Lay, she said to the male, Chazise Labar Machuza, the Sachabamaya, you saw a man, a wealthy, as Rashi says, a wealthy, heavy set person who was very involved in Gashmias, very corpulent, swimming in the water. Visalik, he came out, Ve'ichrich Besadinin, and he wrapped himself in sheets. So he's the epitome of physical pleasure. Ve'isevis Aleh, you went on top of him. And you had plenty of blood to suck out from him, and that's what you did. But you didn't share it with me. You didn't tell me about it. You wanted to keep it for yourself. The simple pshat is that this was like a musr to chastisement to the people in Mechuzah who were very involved in the physical pleasures of this world. However, the Tferes Yaakov tells us that there was another idea here. These wealthy barons in Mechuzah had so much wealth that the wealth would have lasted them for many lifetimes, yet they were reluctant to share it with Aniyim who needed their help. And this is similar to the gnat here, who had this fat human being, plenty of blood for which it could suck, and yet it wouldn't share it with the female. That's why the female separated for the male for 7 years. So here's the question. You're telling me that a gnat doesn't last for a day, and here we say people speak, and the folklore is that it lasts for 7 years, at least that amount we see from this marshal. So he answered back, L'tamech, according to your reason, that you're taking it literally, that it was 7 years separation, hod the amri inshi, that which people say, sheet in mani parzala, there are 60 manim, manim are 100 shkolim of kesef, of iron. There are 60 of these money in iron, tolu lelabaka, they're on the net, bekur nesei, in his hammer, in other words, in his sting, his stinger has on it the weight of 60 manim, miyika, how is that possible? If you're going to take it literally, it doesn't make sense. Iu gufe kamahamavi, how much does the net itself weigh? A fraction of an ounce, and it's going to have 60 manim on its stinger? Ella, but money to do. It must be in relationship to what a person would hold in his hand. Relative to that, if you look at a net, it would be equivalent to a man holding a hammer of 60 money. Hachanami, so just like over there, it's not literal, but rather it's in the dimensions of the net itself proportionally. So too, when we say here 7 years, it means Bishani the two. We're speaking about net years, which Rashi says really could be a few minutes. But since a net lasts less than a day in proportion to a human being who lives 70, 80 years, so the few moments of the net of the female separating from the male is equivalent to, by human beings, of 7 years. But don't take this literally. In fact, a gnat lasts less than a day. Continues the Gemara. Tanan Hassan, we have learned there in a Mishnah in Bechairus, Behema balas he raglayim, an animal that has 5 feet, oy she'ein lo ela shalosh, or she only has 3 feet, she's missing 1 foot, harezem mum, this is a mum, and therefore a kohen would not bring, we're speaking about a bechor, a firstborn, a kohen would not bring it on a mizbeach, but he is allowed to eat it as regular chulin. Amar Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, loy shanu, when do we say that a chaser or a yeser, 3 feet or 5 feet, is not allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach, but it is able to be consumed, it's not considered a treifa for regular consumption. Elo shechaser v'yeser v'yad, that's only if it's missing or it's extra in the arms of the behema, meaning the forelegs of the behema. Then it's not considered a treif. Avol chaser v'yeser beregel, but if it is an added or subtracted foot concerning the hind legs of the animal, in other words, you have 2 feet in the front, but you have only 1 foot in the back, or you have 2 feet in the front, but you have 3 feet in the back. So in those cases, the halacha would be treif. It's only kosher if you're missing or extra in the front. In other words, you have 2 feet in the back and you have 1 foot in the front, or 2 feet in the back and 3 feet in the front. But if this is in a case of the hind legs, the chaser and yeser, then in fact it will be a treif. Ask the Gemara, my taima, what is the reason? Now, the Gemara is not asking what's the reason why a chaser is a treif in that case, because that is a simple thing. Rashi brings down, we have a treifa which is shmutas yerech bebehema, which means when the thigh is dislocated from the socket, that is a treifa. Now, if you're missing one leg, that means that the foot is totally dislocated from the socket. That, in fact, is a treifa. So when it's missing one leg in the back, then it's simple that it's a treifa. Gemara's question, my time, is why is yeser a problem? Yeser, the animal has 5 feet, but it's not missing, there's no dislocated thigh that should make it a treifa. So why, in fact, is it a treifa? Answers the Gemara, we have a klal. What's the klal? Kol yeser kenatol domi. That if you have something extra, it's considered in halacha as if you have something missing. Now, in these words, there is a fundamental machlokes between the Rashi and the Ramban. And there will be nafkaminis lahalacha. And we'll see later, in fact, there's a third shita, which is the shita of the Rashba. But let us begin with Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi learns kol yeser kenatol dami means that instead of considering that the animal has 3 hind legs, we consider it as if it only has 1 hind leg. Kol yeser kenatol dami means not only don't we consider the animal having a 5th leg, but it doesn't even have a 4th leg. All it has is 3 legs. So according to Rashi, we take away a corresponding leg to the one that is extra. But according to Rashi, as opposed to the Ramban, which we'll see in a moment, there's nothing that happens to the animal itself. There's no nekev, for example, in the makomo, in the place where this limb is anchored onto the animal. Rather, it's missing. And once it's missing, we know that if it's chaser, if you only have 3 feet on the animal, that we learned that's a treifa. That's the pshita of Rashi. However, the Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban disagrees on 2 points. First of all, he says you don't subtract another leg. You don't say if you have 5 that it's equal to 3. The only thing that's missing is the thing that's extra. However, according to the Ramban, the 2nd point that he argues with Rashi, it's not just that you're missing a limb, but it's considered as if it's ripped out of its place where it's anchored onto the animal. What happens then? Then there's a nekev. And then, according to Ramban, you'll have to analyze, would this nekev make the animal treif or not? Certain places in the anatomy of the animal, a nekev will make treif. In other areas, a nekev, a hole, will not make treif. Now, we'll see the machlokes Rashi and Ramban by explaining the nafkaminas. One nafkamina would be, let's say you have 5 legs in an animal, the 5th leg is coming out from the tail, the rear section of the animal. Rav Belsky Shlita has said that he in fact has seen a chicken that had a protrusion from its backside, which was in the form of a leg.
So now, according to Rashi, you have an extra leg, kol yeser kenatel. That means instead of having five legs, it's considered as if you have three legs. You have three legs, then you have the treif of shmutas yerech. Then it's treif. However, according to the Ramban, no. You don't have three legs. You have four legs. We are just minus the extra leg. The only point is it's considered like ripped out, and it makes a nekev. But a nekev in the rear section of the animal does not cause a trefa. So here would be a difference between Rashi and Rabban. A second difference would be, let's say a tchol, a spleen. Yeah, instead of having one spleen, the animal has two spleens. According to Rashi, kol yeser kenatel dami means that it's as if you have no spleens now in the animal. An animal that has no spleen is not a trefa. However, according to the Ramban, it means you remove the extra one. But how do you remove it? By considering it as if it's ripped out and there's a nekev. And a nekev in that area of the animal would make a trefa. So here would be a case where, according to Rashi, it's not ripped out, it's just not there. So there's no tchol. An animal is considered kosher without any tchol. According to the Ramban, it's ripped out. There's a nekev. There's a nekev in that section. It would make it a treifa. So here we have enough minute. The Rashba is the most kula dikashita. The Rashba holds like the Ramban, not like Rashi. We don't say that five means that you take away a corresponding one and you only have three. But he says the only part that is considered kenatul is the part that is extra, not, he doesn't learn like the Ramban, that it's considered ripped out and makes a nekev. So that's a third sheet of the most kulodika sheet of the Rashba. Let us continue the Gemara. Hahi chayusa, there was this animal, the havala tarte sanyadibi, that it had two of these sanyadibi. Now we've run across sanyadibi before on Daf Nun Amid Beis. And in fact, Rashi there brought two shitas. Here, Rashi quotes the old French, and Rashi is referring to the shita, he calls it here, Budil Karshtini Kairinloi, and that is the pshat that Rashi likes better on Daf Nun Amid Beis. Now, what is this referred to? So first of all, it is the words themselves, Sanya Divi, means that wolves who always eat the intestines, they hate this part of it because it has waste in it, and it's despised even by wolves who normally eat the intestines. This refers to the cecum, that's what it's known as, which is the blind pouch, which is only open at one end. It's at the beginning of the large intestine, and it's at the end of the dakin, the small intestine. And into that sanyadivi, the waste matter is collected, and it's processed there, and it leaves through the same opening. It only has one opening. It enters in there, it's processed, and then it comes out. If you want to see a picture of this, you can see it in the art scroll on page 50B1, or in the Sefer Tmunei Chol on page 70, picture number 3.58F. So there was this animal that had two of these sanya divi. Aishula Ravina, they brought it to Ravina. Vitorfa, he said it's treif. Why did he say it's treif? Mida Ravuna. Because since we have the rule of Ravuna, kol yeser kenatul dami, so now both according to Rashi and the Ramban, it would be treif. Why? According to Rashi, it's missing the sanya divi. An animal that's missing a sanya divi is a treifa. According to because we say kol, the extra one, not only do you minus the extra one, you have to minus the original one. So you have no sanya divi, treif. According to Ramban, you only take away the extra, but you rip it out. You're making a nekev. A nekev in that spot will render it a treifa. So he said it should be treif. But, says the Gemara, v'yishafchon lahadadik sheira, if they have a passageway from one sikum to the other sikum, then it's considered as if it's one big sikum, and I don't consider it kiyeser. If I don't consider it kiyeser, then it'll be kosher both. We don't say yeser kenatul dami. It'll be kosher both according to Rashi and according to the Ramban. Hahi gufsa. There was this a tube of flesh of basar, the havenafka that went out mibekasi from the beis hakaisis, which is the reticulum, one of the four stomachs of the animal, and it went lahav lila. It went to the hemsis. This is another word for hemsis, the omasim, and this tube is like an extra chamber. It's as if the animal has two beis hakosas or two hemsis. So Rav Ashi lemitrefa. So Rav Ashi wanted to say it's treif based on the rule of yes or kenotel dummy. So again, either you're going to be missing one of these stomachs, you'll be missing either a hemsis or a beis hakosas, or according to the Ramban, it'll be ripped out. There's a nekev there. A nekev in these stomachs makes it a treif. Amalei Rav Mar Bar Chil. Rav Ashi kol hani chiyavi b'raisa hachi islahu. These animals, if you have a rural wild animal of the same species, they do have this extra tube. So therefore, even though the domestic variety doesn't have it, but since its companion wild one has it, it's not considered yeser even in the domestic one. And Mimela, I won't say the rule of kol yeser kenatul dami, and it will remain kosher. Then the Gemara says another similar story. Ha'ugav, so there was this tube of flesh, Davi Mavra, that passed mi beikasi, again, from the beis hakosas, but this time it went lakarsa, it went to the keres, the pouch, or it's also known as the rumen. Sover Mavra vashi lachshure. So he wanted to say it's kosher. Why? Just like we said in the case before, from the beis hakosas to the hemsis, it's kosher. He wanted to say the same halacha would apply from the beis hakosas to the keres. Amalei Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi said to him, "Atu kulu b'chada mechisa machtinu." Are they all woven from the same web? Rashi says that when you make a dissertation, you organize your words. So it's like a weaving process where the threads are in a certain order. So are you saying that all cases are the same? Heichad itmar itmar. Where we have learned it, we have learned it. Heichad lo itmar lo itmar. Where we have not learned it, we have not learned it. Meaning, the only heter in the case before was because we had the wild species, which does have this extra tube. So that's why we said it's not yeser in the domestic variety. But that was only said by the case of the hemsis. But now you want to apply it to the keres. At a keres, we never had such a rule that wild animals have it, and therefore the animal will remain treif. Here, it remains, either according to Rashi, an extra stomach, and therefore kenotel, it's not here. It's like you have no beis hakosas, or like the Ramban, it's ripped out. You have a nekev, makes a treif. Heyed Nasan Bar Shila. Nasan Bar Shila, who was Rav Tavchaya, he was the head butcher of Tzipari, Lifnei Rebbe. He said this testimony in front of Rebbe. Al Shnei B'nei Me'ayim. There were, an animal had two intestines. Hayotzen Min HaBehema. They came out from the fourth stomach, the Keva, the Bamasim, Ke'echot. They were parallel. They paralleled each other. Rashi explains, one came out from the top, near the keva, and the other came from the middle. Shehi treifa, it's treifa, because we have two of them, and again, both according to Rashi and Ramban, it'll be treif. But ukenegdon ba'oif ksheira, if you have the exact same case by a bird, it's kosher. Rashi here gives two pshatim. We'll speak out the first one, and that is that even though we don't find this extra b'nei me'ayin, usually by a bird, Chazal had a Kabbalah that there were many birds that did have it. And therefore, although it's not prevalent by us, we consider it not to be a yeser, and therefore there is no din of treifa. Rashi says another pshat, ayin sham. Bamed dvar mamurim, when do we say that the animal is treif if it has two of these that are coming out? If they're parallel to one another, coming out from two places near the top of the keva, one in the midsection of the keva, then it's treif. But if they're coming out from one place, Rashi says it doesn't mean actually one place, but it means it's adjacent one to the other. It doesn't have a large span from one to the other. So then already I look at them as if they're both one intestine, but there's one condition, v'kolin at ke'etzba. So then the halach is k'sher. What does it mean, kolin at ke'etzba? The simple pshat is, the Gemara later is going to say a different pshat, but the simple pshat is that they are not separated within a finger's width from the keva. In other words, they jut out a little bit from the keva, less than a finger's width, separated right away within an etzba, they already are joined together. So then I consider them both as one big intestine, and the animal is kshera. Peligibar Ravami Ravasi. Ravami and Ravasi had a machlokas in this last halach of etzba that it's kshera. Chad Omer once said, who dehadre va'arvan, one said that even though they came out separately, adjacent one to the other, but they later came together, as we just explained, within an etzba of the keva, they joined together. That's what it's kosher. But v'charomar, one said, no, afagav deloy hadri va'arvi, even though they don't join together, they remain separate, they're still kosher. So the Gemara says, we don't understand this. Bishlam lamandiyomer, who dehadre va'arvi, that they joined together, hainin diktani ad ke'etzba. Now, that makes sense. Near to the keva, within an etzba, even though they jutted out adjacent to each other, separate, but if right away within an etzba they joined together, one, it's considered one, and it's kosher. That I understand. El amandiyomer afagav deloy hadri va'arvi. But according to the amandiyomer, says no, they can remain separate. They don't have to join together. So mayat ke'etzba. So what? Now I don't understand. What does this mean about an etzba? You're telling me they're not joined within an etzba of the keva. So what is the etzba? The Gemara says, I didn't mean to say that Eloi Hadri Va'arvi, they never joined together. They're not joined together at the top near the keva, but at Ke'etzpa Malamata. They're separated until Lamata. What does Lamata mean? Where do these intestines go? They go out to the rectum, to the rear of the animal. The feces goes through. So at the within, as long as they join, and they're an etzba from the rectum, they're already joined together at that point, then they're still considered one. So according to the first mandiyomer, they have to be joined right away within an etzba from the keva. According to the second mandiyomer, as long as before the rectum, a finger's width before the rectum, they're joined at that point, even though they were separated altogether, both from each other, until that point, that is still considered one big intestine, and it will remain kosher. Now the Gemara explains the last halacha that we learned in the Mishnah before on Daf Nun Vav Amid Beis. We learned the halacha over there that if you have an animal that's flayed, gluda, the skin has been taken off, that's a trefa, and the animal is not kosher. Now the question is, what about by a bird? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imnit lo hanoitza psula, if the soft down, the down is not like the large feathers, which are the knafayim. These are the small downy feathers without long shafts, which cover the bird's skin. So Rabbi Yehuda said that nit lo hanoitza, if the soft down was removed, that's also psula. That's like a gluta by an animal. The skin was removed. And there's noitza has a din of skin, and therefore it's considered by a bird treif. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel, Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel said the same thing. In other words, we should point out that the Tanakama, the Chachamim, disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. They say the noitza, it does not have a din of gluda, and therefore, if the nights of the soft down is missing, it does not render the bird a trefa. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Eichlin says that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel said the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda hadamor, and Rabbi Yehuda, what we just learned in the Mishnah, that if the nights is missing, it's considered like a gluda. In other words, the down is considered like skin, and just like by an animal, if the skin is missing, it's flayed, so it's trefa, so too by a bird. And Rabbi Shmuel said the same concept, negeya, a different halacha. This is now we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, hanoitz mitzarefes. The noitz is mitzarf. Rashi tells us, what is it mitzarf to? That if a kohen had a kavana when he did malika on a chatos, that he's going to eat a kezias from the down, the notza, and the skin, and the flesh, chutz lizmanoi. We see this in the first line of the wide Rashi. So in other words, you don't need just a kezias of basar, or a kezias of basar with oyer, with skin, but even kezias, basar, and oyer, and noitza, that all is mitzarf together to be a kezias, and if you add machshava to eat it, chutz lizmanoi, it's pigle. So we see, what's the underlying concept? That the noitza has a din of oyer. So it's the same principle the Rabbi Yehuda says here, legabi treifa. So the Gemara is equating the din of pigle to the din of treifa, that noitza has a din of oyer. But now the Gemara is going to challenge that. Amar Rava, no, Dilmaloi. Who says one thing is the same as the other? Adkan lekama Rabbi Yehuda hacha. Rabbi Yehuda said over here by treifa that the noitza has a din like skin. Elinyan treifa, deleke midi demeginolei. Because there's nothing that will protect it from the elements. It'll freeze. The noitza helps it survive. So that's when I say noitza is like skin. Aval inyan efluge, kerabonim sirlei. Could be that Rabbi Yehuda will hold the gabbit a din of pigle, that noitza does not have a din of oyer. It doesn't have a din like basar. Why are you equating one to the other? The Atkan like Rabbi Shmuel Hossam and Rabbi Shmuel who said that didn't by Pigel only said it by Pigel. Ela linya nifluge, that it's since there it pertains to eating. So since the nitsa can be eaten, so legabi the din of Pigel, it's mitzarif to the kizayas of Busser or a nitsa. Ava linya trefa, but concerning trefa, what's the concept by trefa always? That without this the animal can't survive. That's not true. Igune loimegan. This does not protect the animal. Even if the bird is missing the notza, it could still survive. Here you have to look at it. There it's a question of eating. So eating, I could consider it like meat or like skin that you eat. But legabi this halacha, there's a different criterion. That is, will it survive without this or not? Yes, it could survive without it. That's why for here, perhaps Rabbi Shmuel would hold that it doesn't have halacha of or, and it would not be trefa if it was missing the notza. So Rava wants to say that one thing has nothing to do with the other.